Patriots.com radio.
First and 10 Patriots from their own 1 yard line. Look at this. Brady's going to go with an empty backfield. Brady takes the snap, back to throw, gets rid of it down the field. Caught, 20 yard line, 30, 35, 40, down the left sideline. He's going to go the distance. A 99 yard touchdown play.
The Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
The Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Patriots take the border war from the New York Jets. They move into first place in the AFC East, improving to 4-1 with a 30-21 victory over the Jets. Good, hard-fought battle today in Foxborough as the Patriots grind this one out. I would call it their best defensive effort of the young season, and a very balanced offensive attack as well for the New England Patriots, not just on the ground, but through the air. They spread it around with Tom Brady to a number of different receivers, something that I was very critical of last week. And they did it against one of the league's best defenses in the New York Jets as they escape with a 9-point victory. And again, remain on top of the AFC East. It is the Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. I'm Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's how you get in touch. 508-298-0398. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. We do this right off the top of each and every Patriots postgame show. The good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio.
We'll start with the good, and it's an easy one with the day that he had today for the New England Patriots. Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, 27 carries, 136 yards, average 5 a pop, including 2 touchdowns. He was also in a number of key third down situations without Danny Woodhead in the game. An absolutely immense effort from Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, and the offensive line as well. But Green-Ellis' entire day summed up on that last drive for the Patriots when he actually got stopped and Gostkowski wound up kicking his third field goal of the day. But Green-Ellis, 10 carries for 59 yards on that drive. If you needed to sum up his day, that was it, as Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis bled the clock down and essentially put away the New York Jets. Similar vein, the offensive balance today for the New England Patriots I thought was excellent. 35 rushes for 152 yards, 33 passes for 294 yards. And maybe it's not a coincidence that Aaron Hernandez came back, but it wasn't just the run-pass balance, which I thought the Patriots would do. One of the things that I was curious about was how balanced would they be through the air. In other words, how much would Brady spread it around to his different receivers? And it was 5 catches for Welker for 124 yards, another great day for him, some of which came against Darrell Revis, including that 73-yard pass, although it's tough to blame Revis entirely on that one, as Smith was also in the vicinity, Eric Smith, the safety. Deion Branch, 7 catches, 74 yards. Hernandez, 5 for 56. Gronkowski, 4 for 31. They got back to spreading it around through the air. So that was certainly on my good list today for the Patriots. And then the third down defense. They held the Jets to 3 for 11 on third downs. And more importantly, for 7 three and outs in this football game, including the first 4 drives for the New York Jets. So I thought the defense got back in the good column, specifically on third down. The bad list, special teams. And you heard about this throughout the week, and it was really just one big kickoff return. But that Joe McKnight return after the Patriots went up to start the second half, Tom Brady marches the offense down the field, 4 plays, 80 yards. All of a sudden, you're up 17-7, and the Jets answer right back, 88-yard kickoff return by Joe McKnight, who's explosive, but not good coverage from the Patriots on that one. I also thought Aaron Hernandez, for as involved in the offense as he was, A, you could tell he wasn't 100%, and B, had that killer drop right before halftime. You can't let him off the hook for that, because that was a go-ahead touchdown. Would have put the Patriots up by 10 at halftime. Instead, you're up by just 3 with the Antonio Cromartie interception that went right off Aaron Hernandez's hands. So he's on my bad list, as is Brandon Spikes, who I thought today, and this shouldn't come as a total shock, but I thought today really struggled in coverage. And it was summed up by that third down play in the second quarter where Plaxico Burress just ran a drag route right across the middle of the field, 9-yard catch. Spikes not only didn't cover Plaxico, but also picked off Gary Guyton on that play. So for me, I thought it was a rough day for Brandon Spikes over the course of the day. The injured for the Patriots came out relatively healthy. Aaron Hernandez, who we knew going into the game, knee injury, left for a play, went to the locker room, but wound up returning to the game, as did Sean Ellis, left with a leg injury and returned. The only other nick that we saw over the course of the game, if you want to call it that, was Albert Haynesworth, shockingly, going down with cramps at one point in the game, which again goes right back to his conditioning. How in shape is Albert Haynesworth? Not sure we know the answer to that as of yet. But today, limited his snaps, played mostly in sub packages, and that was a bit unnerving for me. But look, the Patriots escaped this relatively healthy with a 30-21 victory over the New York Jets. We told you the Patriots moved to 4-1. Jets drop all the way to 2-3. They've lost 3 in a row, 0-3 on the road. They are reeling. I told you during the week on ESPN Boston Radio, I thought the Patriots were catching the Jets at a great time. And that turned out to be the case as the Patriots score a 9-point victory. You are listening to the Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com with Adam Jones. We are live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. Here's what's coming up on the program tonight. You'll hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick in a little less than a half an hour, right around 8 o'clock East Coast time. You'll also hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady in about an hour, so roughly 8:30 East Coast time. And we'll also get a player from the Patriots locker room following their 30-21 victory over the New York Jets. As again, the Patriots take the latest installment of the border war. Something that's been a bit of a back and forth to this point since Rex Ryan has stepped in and coached across from Bill Belichick. It was 3-2 coming into this game, including the key postseason game. And I know you're probably tired of people like me saying it, but I thought it was telling that at the podium this week, Vince Wilfork said as much and said, yeah, you know, we're just 2-3 against those guys since Rex has been there. That tells you that the players were thinking about it. And they even the score to some degree. The Jets have still won the most significant game last year in Foxborough in the postseason. But this balanced it out a little bit. And I thought, finally, you got a nice defensive effort from this Patriots club. Not only on third downs, you just look at the total yardage by the New York Jets, and some of this was piled up on that last drive. 255 total yards for the Jets as the defense did its job today. You know, didn't force any interceptions, didn't really get after the quarterback all that much in this one. Mark Anderson had a sack, or excuse me, 1.5 sacks. Rob Ninkovich also piled in on a sack with Mark Anderson. I thought you saw a little more pressure from the Patriots today. And I thought overall they did a nice job in coverage. Maybe that has something to do with the Jets' offense, but at this point the Patriots will take what they can get. And I thought it was their best defensive effort of the young season. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. That's where Brandon writes in. Okay, great win today, but now I hope everyone can stop talking crap about Ocho dropping that pass against the Bills. I think he was in the offense more, and he felt comfortable. It's just a matter of time when he has a breakout game. I mean, look, on Ocho Cinco, I think it's the second straight week we saw him thrive in that two-minute offense. We saw it last week against Oakland. We saw it again this week. Ocho Cinco, 16-yard catch. Just a tremendous toe-tapper. I'm sure he was asking for Belichick's attention after that catch. Just a great toe-tapping catch down the sideline. And then on the very next play, which was a third down, 7-yard catch, converts the first down. Now, a couple plays later, he had a false start. And the Patriots wound up driving all the way inside Jets territory before that crucial Hernandez drop. But still, for me, the most telling thing about Ocho Cinco isn't necessarily the production, and that has been okay the last couple of weeks. Not otherworldly, but okay. The most telling thing still is that he's not out on the field for a large number of snaps, and that's still what I would worry about with Chad Ocho Cinco. Though, look, your two starting receivers in this one, Wes Welker and Deion Branch, both with very productive games. Welker, I spent some time not only on the website, I do my bold predictions every Monday on ESPNBoston.com, but also on ESPN Boston Radio during the week. I said the Jets would limit Welker. Not the case at all, Kevin. 5 catches, 124 yards, including a 73-yarder, the first play of the second half. Just a beautiful play action where he got it over the top of Revis, and the safety Smith wasn't there to help out. Just a great way to start the second half for the Pats.
I'll tell you what, the fans weren't fooled, because in the pregame, the JetBlue pregame social here, we had a poll up on the website, and it said which Patriot player will lead the team with receptions today. And, you know, the majority of the crew was voting for Welker. And Perillo and Hart and I just kind of poo-pooed that because we figured he would draw a lot of extra attention, but he still had a hell of a game.
Well, he did draw Revis, but again, Revis was the guy on him first on that long catch, and he also had a key third down conversion against Revis earlier in the game. So you know what? Productive day out of Wes Welker. Deion Branch also with seven catches to lead the way for the New England Patriots for 74 yards. Another score for him, and there was that phenomenal play. I don't know if you remember this, but it was actually just after the Ocho false start penalty where Brady, and I just had a great view on it, Brady just airs this thing out to the sideline, and Branch hadn't even turned his head yet, hadn't even snapped his neck around yet. Just phenomenal, unreal timing from Brady to Branch, and tells you a little bit about the unspoken relationship they have. And when you see that with Branch, you still realize how far that Ocho Cinco has to go in this offense. But that was just a gorgeous play right before halftime from Brady to Branch. Let's hit the phones. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We'll start with Matt in Mississippi. You're first up here on the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones. Hey, Matt.
Hey.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. The only thing I want to talk about is, like, Brady not getting rid of the ball. He kind of took a little bit of too much punishment, I think. He could have probably got rid of the ball a little bit more. Or, like, why were they getting through so easy on him? The offensive line. And plus, our defense is still, I think it's still kind of suspect. They were driving down the field kind of way too easy.
Well, Matthew, I hear what you're saying, but the defense is still suspect. Absolutely. I'm not saying all of a sudden they're one of the best defenses in the league, but take baby steps with this defense. This was their most productive effort to this point in the season. Would you not agree with that?
Yeah, I agree. It was a lot better than recent games like the Chargers and all that, but I feel it's going to take a good defense to win the championship in my eyes, you know?
Well, and no, Matthew, I agree with that. But look, to be fair to the Patriots defense, and thanks for the phone call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. To be fair to the defense, all we're asking for is improvement, and I thought we got that in large part today. Patriots third down defense, very good. Held the Jets to, what was it, 250 total yards, something along those lines in this football game, 255 total yards, only 158 through the air. I thought Sanchez was going to have a decent day coming into this game. And you know what? The stats don't look bad, but I didn't think he looked great in this football game today. So, you know, for me, I felt like this was a major step forward for the defense. So many questions that I've had about the defense, I'm not saying they answered them today. But look, when you crucify the defense week after week after week and they put up an effort like they did today, I think they deserve some credit. And that's what we'll give the Patriots here on the Patriots postgame show, Patriots.com, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Adam Jones here. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com, as the Patriots do take care of the New York Jets with a 30-21 victory, and they move to 4-1 and in a tie atop the AFC East with the Buffalo Bills. Lisa writes into radio, or webradio@patriots.com, "So glad we have a win today. I'm sick of living near Pittsburgh and seeing all of these black and gold fans. Yuck. Every year my Super Bowl, quote-unquote, is against the Steelers. So after the bye week, we best rock and kick some butt. Predictions for my Super Bowl." Or excuse me. Predictions for my Super Bowl. Final score. I don't know. I'm not going to look ahead to that game quite yet. The Patriots always seem to take care of the Steelers. So in terms of a score, it's a little too far into the future for that one. But Patriots-Steelers, yeah, I'd expect the Patriots to beat the Steelers. They do it virtually every season. For whatever reason, the Patriots match up extremely well against that Pittsburgh secondary, specifically. So that's a couple of weeks away, not something that we need to spend a ton of time focusing on here, as the Patriots score the victory, a 9-point win over the New York Jets. And that team is reeling. I mean, you saw not just Joe Namath coming out and questioning the team this week, which would rub me the wrong way if I'm a player in New York. But you also heard some infighting from the Patriots, Antonio Holmes, Mark Sanchez going back a little bit, or back and forth, I should say, a little bit this week. So I just thought the Patriots were catching this team at the right time, and they score 30 points again, which is the 13th straight time they've done that. They're closing in on the all-time mark for regular season games set by the St. Louis Rams, greatest show on turf, as the Patriots do score that win over the New York Jets. We'll continue with your phone calls. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. That's where John gets in touch from Detroit. What's going on, John?
Hey, Adam, how are you?
Doing well, man.
Home of the still undefeated Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I mean, they're on Monday Night Football tomorrow night, so we'll see if they take care of business, but absolutely.
Yeah, and, you know, the Tigers are, they didn't do too well last night. But anyway, I wanted to talk to you about today's game. And, you know, as you said, very encouraging to see the Patriots doing well offensively. But, you know, I just felt uneasy watching the game today. I felt like they should have had an easier time with the Jets. And I know the Jets always give them trouble, but, you know, this defense just doesn't seem to be able to stop any team, you know. And I'm worried about, you know, when they start playing some of these more difficult teams, you know, what the outcome is going to be.
Well, look, John, I hear what you're saying, but do you not consider the Jets one? I know they're not playing their best football right now, but do you not consider that a big key victory for this Patriots club? I mean, this is one that we've had circled since the end of last season, since the postseason loss. So, yeah, the Jets aren't playing their best football now, but I think they're certainly not the best offense out there, but I do think they're a good football team who's just struggling a little bit at this point. I'd still expect the Jets to be there in the end at the for the division.
Right, but I don't think that they are up there with, you know, Green Bay or
New Orleans, teams like that, Detroit even at this point. No, I mean, I'd agree with that, John. But I think this is a nice win for the Patriots today. And look, I'm not going to sit here and crush the defense for four straight weeks and then when they play well, just say, you know, you were going against a struggling team. You were. The Jets are a struggling team and the offense has been scuffling all season. But still, you take the improvement as it came for the Patriots in this game. Look, this is how the Jets started. And you're listening to the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones here on Patriots.com. You can give us a call, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. This is how the Jets started out the game. Remember, they started with the ball. Patriots won the toss and deferred. Jets, 3 plays, 8 yards, punt. 3 plays, 9 yards, punt. 3 plays, 8 yards, punt. 3 plays, 9 yards, punt. That's how the Jets started this game offensively. I don't know how you can't look at that as a major win out of the gates for the New England Patriots. Jets had 4 3-and-outs in that first quarter. And I like the way the Patriots defense came up with big stops each time. On the first drive, it was a pass breakup by Lee Bodden. Pass intended for Dustin Keller on third down. Broken up. And by the way, Dustin Keller did squat in this game. He's somebody who I thought would be a real X factor. 1 catch, 7 yards, 2 targets. That was it. That was his day. And he's somebody who, if you watch Bill Belichick of Football Life, you know that Belichick's preoccupied with stopping him. Patriots have struggled down the seam against some tight ends this season. Kevin Boss comes to mind last week in Oakland. Anthony Fasano comes to mind week 1 in Miami. And the Patriots just shut him down. But anyway, that was the first drive. Next drive, Patriots get bailed out. John Connor, the fullback, the Terminator, if you watch Hard Knocks, drops a pass, would have been a surefire first down, drops a pass on third down coming out of the flat. Next drive, third down. Sanchez has nowhere to go, drops back, patting the football, nobody open, tries to run for it. That's where Mark Anderson and Rob Ninkovich combine for a sack. So that was the third drive and the third 3-and-out. And then on the fourth 3-and-out, it's again a pass to Keller, his only catch of the day, James Ahedebu. Comes up with a big stop short of the sticks. And that's how the Jets started their day. Their first 4 drives went punt, 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 punt. Well, that was 1 too many. 4 punts. Speaking of Ahedebu, by the way, everybody was focused on Sean Ellis this week, and I thought Ellis actually showed up a little bit. Now, I thought Sean Ellis, there was that one play where he blew up the offensive lineman. I actually think it was the touchdown. For the Jets. I think it was actually the Santonio Holmes touchdown is the play. But you saw Sean Ellis flashing at various points.
He blew up the running back into the lineman and got like a 2-for-1 special.
So,
but Ahedebu, I just thought was disgraceful.
Disgraceful? I mean, I think one thing you got out of Ahedebu today, and look, there was one play that was just awful.
The one he got toasted, Santonio Holmes, the touchdown pass where he was standing there.
It was
in the
that was his worst play of the
day.
So that's the same play where Ellis.
And he had help on that play.
That was
too.
More.
He had help. Sure.
Arrington was underneath.
Exactly.
And he was over the top.
And he let the guy get behind.
But what I'm saying is, I guess when you come up with injuries right before the game, Josh Barrett, how much did you expect out of Ahedebu? Did you expect him to be your wire to wire safety? So, look, I mean, I would put that more, some of those blown coverages, I would say, look, that's on That's somewhat on the coaching staff with the decisions they made with their safeties in the preseason. But I thought the fact that he went wire to wire and showed up a couple of times, yeah, that touchdown was bad, but it didn't wind up crippling him. And there were a couple of times where Ahedibu made stops on third down, that fourth drive that we just told you about, on Dustin Keller. And he did it again. Jeremy Curley, second drive of the second half for the Jets. Remember, the Jets started out after that long kickoff return from McKnight. 88 yards, Curley touchdown, then three straight three and outs to end the third quarter. And Ahedibu came up with one of those stops. So, look, in pass coverage, he obviously struggled. But in run support and coming up on some tackles, I thought Ahedibu was okay.
Two thumbs down, Jones. I disagree.
Two thumbs down.
And he went to my alma mater, so I should have a soft spot for him.
That's a good
point. I'm sitting there on the sideline biting my
nails.
Can
I ask you? UMass had another player in the game, right? Is it Mulligan, a UMass kid, the tight end?
I think he is, yeah.
I think he is as well. Vladimir Dukas, he's on the Jets.
Yep.
Yeah, some UMass players in this game today.
He was the second-round pick, I believe.
He was?
By the Jets. But no, if anyone should like the guy, and I do like the guy. I think he's a nice guy. I've had a chance to speak with him. I did a radio spot recording with him. But as a football player, I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, dude,
look,
you do not belong on the field.
Both those Jets, I thought, did okay. They flashed a little bit in that game against the Jets today. Ahedibu played a large number of snaps, and he was there a little bit in run support. Sean Ellis flashed a little bit. It is the Patriots post-game show here on Patriots.com with Adam Jones. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. We will be hearing from somebody who was on my good list tonight, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, Patriots running back, his first 100-yard game of the season. Also had two touchdowns. Huge game from him. You'll hear from him shortly on the Patriots post-game show. You'll also hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick, as well as Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, coming up here throughout the course of the program. Did want to continue with your emails to webradio@patriots.com. It's where Peter writes in, Adam, let's give the defense some well-deserved credit for today's efforts. Too many boo birds still criticizing the D. They give up 255 total yards today. And without Mayo, that's something I haven't even mentioned yet, by the way. No Jerod Mayo in this game. And you know what? I thought the Patriots struggled a little bit on the ground. I actually thought Sean Green ran pretty well.
He did.
21 carries,
yep.
83 yards, touchdown.
Yep.
I thought he was the Jets' best offensive player.
I definitely agree.
And I think that's where you miss Jerod Mayo in this game. But that's something I hadn't even mentioned yet, Kevin. So good point by Peter, the emailer. Best defensive effort. You didn't even have Mayo in the game. So Peter goes, continues, come on, fans, stop bashing the D. They're improving, and there are still 11 more games to go, heading in the right direction. And the offense was good, but not great today. Great game. So that's Peter writing in to Web Radio at Patriots.com.
So, Adam, so the Patriots scored 30, if I'm correct here, 30 on the number. What do you think their record is when scoring 30 points under Coach Bill Belichick? Interesting little nugget I just found out.
How many times have they done it? How about that?
They've done it 68 times.
I'll say they've lost twice.
Three times. That's pretty
good.
Three times. 65-3 when scoring 30 points or more under Coach Belichick.
I think that's about the number they're going to have to do. I don't know, high 20s, low. I mean, that's what they're going to have to do to bail out this defense. But that said, I thought the defense played all right today. We told you, Jets were 3-for-11. There were 7 3 and outs in this. I don't know how much more you want out of the defense. There was more pressure today. Yeah, there were no turnovers, but I thought the defense held up pretty well, especially, as the emailer pointed out, without Jerod Mayo. Continuing with the emails to webradio@patriots.com. Kevin writes in, Adam, how do you feel about Brady and the way he's playing? He had some nice throws, but has been diminished in our new look offense running, our new look rushing offense. I'm not throwing Tom under the bus. He's the best, but I think it's nice to see our offense be able to run the ball. I'd agree with that, Kevin. Offensive balance is something that I've been asking for out of this club. And, you know, I thought Tom Brady played well today. He certainly missed some throws early on in the game, but most of them were intended for Aaron Hernandez. And I got to tell you, I think that was more on Hernandez, Brady trying to figure out what speed Hernandez was moving at. He missed a couple of throws down the seam that you don't usually see Brady miss. And I thought overall, not his best game, not Brady's best game. He wasn't on my good list. And great, granted, he's had some monster games this year, so he's set his standards pretty high. But 321 passing yards, 24-33, a touchdown and a pick that was not his fault at all. I don't think Brady was the problem at all, but I was happy to see some balance out of the Patriots. And we will talk to one of the members involved in the balanced offensive attack today. You'll hear from Patriots running back Ben Jarvis Green Ellis next. Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com with Adam Jones on Patriots.com.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights all right from the palm of your hand.
So what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Pats interception, yes!
Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet. Anytime. He's at the 50, the 40.
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10. Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you are frightening a seamstress.
Oh, that tieback is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
If you didn't know, AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First out, his heart. Whoa, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
I love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Welcome back to the Patriots Postgame Show, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios, here's your host, Adam Jones.
You'll be hearing from Patriots running back Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis shortly, right from the locker room, following the Patriots' 30-21 victory over the New York Jets. Patriots move to 4-1. As you're listening to the Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com, Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can get in touch on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. And you won't just be hearing from Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis. Also still to come, Patriots head coach Bill Belichick, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, as a real balanced offensive effort out of the New England Patriots today. I think it's the second straight week that it's been run-pass balance. We saw this against the Raiders as well. Ridley and Green-Ellis both ran well last week. But one of my criticisms on the postgame show last week was it was all Welker through the air, and then the Patriots struggled to spread the ball around. Wasn't the case today. I thought the offensive balance was great from a run-pass standpoint and from a Brady spreading the ball around standpoint. Six different receivers caught passes in this one. Five for Welker, seven for Branch, five for Hernandez, four for Gronkowski, two for Ocho, even one for Green Ellis. And I think that is a promising development for the Patriots. And I don't think it's a coincidence that Aaron Hernandez makes his return to this Patriots offense. And you see the Patriots really spread the ball around through the air. I don't think that's a coincidence at all. And I think that's one of the most promising developments that came out of this game. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. That's where Sven writes in. Hey, Adam, I thought the offense played sloppy today. We caught a break with the Deion Branch fumble and Aaron Hernandez pulling an Algie Crumpler in the end zone. Good term for that one. As Aaron Hernandez just completely, totally dropped what should have been a go-ahead touchdown right before halftime, went right into the hands of Antonio Cromartie. Hernandez didn't look in sync. Do you think the offense would have been better off without Hernandez and playing Chad Johnson instead? F the Jets, go Pats. And again, that's Sven writing in from Sweden. No, I got to be honest, I thought Hernandez, a valiant effort from him, and say the same thing about Nick Mangold on the other side, by the way. Mangold dinged up during the week, came back, went wire to wire, played every snap for the Jets. So valiant effort from him. Same thing from Hernandez as well. You know, those dinged up players playing through injuries, I thought was... it shows you how important this game is, how important this rivalry is for both teams. And no, I thought Hernandez, even though, yeah, he didn't look totally healthy, I think that was obvious. You could see it on the first couple of drives. Looked like his knee was still bothering him to some extent. But I thought he gutted it out, and I thought at the very least he was a distraction, somebody the Jets had to game plan for, a decoy, whatever you want to call it. I thought that was a promising development, and you just expect him to get healthier. Remember, he was one of two players that left the game and came back. It was both Hernandez and Sean Ellis, both left with leg injuries, both came back relatively quickly. And then Albert Haynesworth, laboring to get off the field, just grabbing at his toes. Again, that has to go back to a conditioning thing with Albert Haynesworth. That's something that would be bothersome for me watching this game today. But overall, nice effort, nice team effort. Offense, defense, running, passing, good third down defense. I thought you got a nice team effort to beat the New York Jets today, 30-21. As you're listening to the Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com, still waiting to hear from Patriots running back Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. So we'll continue with your phone calls on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. That's where Chris and Natick calls in from. What's going on, Chris? Hey, Chris, hello? You there? Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, Adam, Kevin, thanks for taking my call.
No problem,
man. Long time. I just wanted to check in and say, hey, secondary showed up big tonight. I know that Jets receivers aren't quite what you say top-notch, but however, they showed up big, and I also was a big fan of the fact that we kept running the ball. I know that everyone's talking about how it's a pass-first offense now. I think it's come playoff time, you're still going to need a running something to check in to.
No, I mean, Chris, I think
check in when it comes to running.
No, I think
I'm glad they showed up tonight, and thanks for taking my call, and have a good one.
No, appreciate it, man. Thanks for the phone call. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You know, you start early on Jets Day. I get it. Go out. You got a big tailgating day. It's 4:15 game. You start early. I understand. But I get what Chris was saying. You need to be able to run the football come postseason. I totally agree with that. One of my criticisms after the Dolphins game and after the Bills game as well, Patriots just couldn't run when they were in front. And I thought you saw it a little bit in the fourth quarter of the San Diego game. I know you saw it last week against Oakland, and you saw it again today. And if for nothing else, I just like the identity offensively of this team when they're a little bit more smash mouth. And I thought that last drive from the Patriots, again, didn't even turn into a touchdown. They had to settle for a field goal. And honestly, the biggest play on the drive, or the one that could have sealed the game, Green Ellis actually got stopped on it. But on that drive, Patriots had the ball for 13 plays. Ben Jarvis touched the ball on 10 of them and ran it for 59 yards. I thought that drive just summed up the game for the New England Patriots. And it was the difference in that football game today. Patriots ran out the clock, burned through some clock, forced the Jets to use their timeouts. I thought that was a tremendous drive from the New England Patriots at the end of the game. I thought it was a tremendous effort overall. From Patriots running back Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, goes over 100 yards for the first time this season. Green Ellis with 136 yards on the ground, 27 carries, averaged 5 yards a pop, got in the end zone twice. And he joins us now here on the Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com with Adam Jones. Ben Jarvis, what's going on, man?
Hello?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for joining us here on the Patriots postgame show.
Oh, man, thanks for having me. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing well, man. We're doing well. Probably not as well as you guys, who moved to 4-1, pick up another victory here this week. How's it feel not only to get the win, but especially against a team that has played you so tough in the past?
You know, it's always good to get a win against a good quality division opponent, which we're in a very tough division. So to come out and get a win against our rival, the Jets, and against it's been a division game, it's always good. And, you know, it's always excellent. You know, I think everybody's going to sleep well tonight and come in tomorrow, watch the film, and get ready for Dallas.
You obviously had a huge game today, huge effort, well over 100 yards, got in the end zone twice. When did you realize over the course of the week that you were going to be a focal point in this game?
I think, you know, during the course of the week, we're offense, you know, we're game-plan offense. And when we get up there, you know, we kind of have plays. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I know that when I'm in practice all week that I need to work hard, on extremely hard, on everything that's being thrown at me during the week of practice. And when we get out there on Sunday, you have to be ready for whatever comes up. Whether we're passing, you have to be ready to get in there and blitz pick up or run routes. And if we're running it, you have to be able to contribute in the run game and churn out yards.
Has there been more of an emphasis to run the football these last couple of weeks? Hello? I think we might have lost Ben Jarvis there for a second. We'll try to get him back on the horn here. As Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis again, with a huge effort for the New England Patriots today. And you could see that balance, I thought, has been so key for the Pats in each of their last two victories. In Oakland last week, and again this week against the New York Jets, scoring a big win in that border war, that rivalry game between the Patriots and the Jets. I thought balance was key. So unfortunately, Benny's phone there, not the greatest in the world. We'll try to get him back here on the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones here on Patriots.com. We are live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can get in touch on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. I did think that balance was so key for the New England Patriots, and we have Ben Jarvis back on the phone here. Sorry to get cut off there for a second, Benny. I was just asking these
Hello?
Last. Hey, what's going on, man? We were just asking before we got cut off if these last 2 weeks there's been more of an emphasis to run the football.
I just think that it's always an emphasis on us that we give whatever the defense takes us, and we go out and, you know, we just work hard and practice. And when we come out to the game on Sunday, if they're giving us run looks, we're running. They give us pass looks, we pass it, and just being successful at whatever the, you know, the defense is giving us and just countering.
Take us through that last drive where you guys are grinding out the clock, running down some time, forcing the Jets to use some timeouts. What's being said in the huddle at that point?
I'm just thinking that, you know, we want to end the game with the ball in our hands, and just that's always a key thing. And I think one game this year we weren't able to do that, and you know, that kind of stuck with us, and we pride ourselves in being able to end the game on our terms, and we were able to do that tonight, so that's always a positive.
How'd you feel taking over that Kevin Falk, Danny Woodhead role, the direct snap tonight?
When someone goes down, the next guy had to step up, and just tonight, you know, I was the next guy up in line as far as being able to come in and play on third down, so I had to come in, and especially being in chat week with them, throwing a lot of blitzes, and make sure that you're on your P's and Q's and picking up blitzes, and you know, getting out in the routes, and like you said, the direct snap, all of those things are just part of the territory.
Now, obviously a big day from you. What have you seen from your rookie teammate, Stephen Ridley, so far this season?
Hello?
Hey, what's going on, Ben Jarvis? You still there? I think we might have lost him, so we're struggling a little bit with the cell phone here. But Stephen Ridley, in a reduced role today, as Bean Jarvis Green Ellis really took over for the New England Patriots. Good to hear from him, though. You know, not a not the longest of interviews, but good to hear from him. And you heard him talking about the balance. You heard him talking about being ready to step up, taking over other roles. Had to take over Danny Woodhead's role, not just this week, but more importantly, last week. Middle of the game, Woodhead goes down. Got to step up. Remember, he was in that two-minute offense last week. Has to worry about blocking. Has to worry about running these passing routes. And remember, Green Ellis caught just that one pass, but it was on a total breakdown from the Jets. You remember that play where they're in the red zone? And it was like Brady just caught the Jets totally off guard. They weren't even set yet, and Brady just flipped it out into the flat. Green Ellis got it all the way down to, what was it, the 2 or 3 yard line, and it set up his second touchdown run in that football game. So it's good to hear from Patriots running back Ben Jarvis. Green Ellis, huge effort in this one. 27 carries for 136 yards and a couple of scores as well. As the Patriots pick up their 30-21 victory over the New York Jets, they move to 4-1. You're listening to the Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com with Adam Jones. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or send your emails to webradio@patriots.com. We'll continue to hear from you, but we want to go to the podium and hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick following his club's victory over the New York Jets.
It's good to win, and I'm really proud of our team. They had a good week of practice. They worked hard, pushed through a lot of, you know, bumps and bruises, you know, banged up, long trip from Oakland and all that, but they hung in there, and thought they really did a good job this week. It's one of our better weeks of practice, so, you know, hopefully that was reinforced by what we did in the game.
It looked like Benny was able to put together some pretty good yards, especially in the second half. What allowed him to be so effective out there?
You know, I think everything helped. You know, throwing the ball, they played a lot of sub-defense, a lot of extra DBs. You know, our line did a good job. Our tight ends did a good job. Tom checked some plays and got us into some, you know, some more favorable runs than maybe what we're called. So, you know, I think it's a good job all the way around. Benny ran well, of course, like he always does. Runs hard, gets a lot of yards after contact. So, you know, it was a good, solid job all the way around. Receivers, you know, they blocked on that last third and four play. We ran around the end. You know, we got a couple good crack blocks from the receivers. So, you know, everybody did their job.
Talk about the way the defense responded with
Jericho. Well, you know, we had our moments. You know, we had some three and outs. We didn't play very well in the red area, and you know, still gave, you know, 21 points, but it was enough to win. And you know, certainly a lot of things we can improve on, but I think we have improved, and hopefully we can keep building on that and, you know, continue to get better each week.
You talked about Tom getting some better running plays than what was called. Is this a game that was heavy on needing to make adjustments at the line based upon what they were doing?
You know, there's always an element of that with the Jets. You know, they give you a lot of different looks, and, you know, they stem in and out of things and overload and then switch it and you know, just change things up on you. So, you know, you got to be careful about running plays that just have no chance. You know, you want to stay out of those, try to give yourself something that you at least have, you know, an even fight, you know, fair numbers on. So, listen, that's quarterback's responsibility. You know, a couple of times we just got caught in it. They did a good job. They you know, maneuvered in a way that we weren't able to do that. But, you know, I thought he did a good job handling that.
It was a drive where you had three consecutive 8-yard runs and no touchdown today. Was that a drive on which their personnel dictated that, or was Bill making those three calls?
No, that's just the way it turned out.
Wes's long reception. What did you see? What did you guys take advantage of?
Well, you know, a play action pass. He came over the middle. Looked like the safety, you know, dove, whether he was supposed to win a run or not, I'm not sure. You know, and then he split Revis and within safety to Smith. So, not sure whether they were comboing that because the tight end blocked, or, you know, somebody obviously, you know, got caught short. And you know, Tom put it out there. You know, we had a couple other chances today where we were behind the defense, and you know, we just overthrew him by a yard or so. But I think we got to keep taking those shots, and you know, you're not going to hit all of them. I mean, you want to, but you know, we hit one. We've hit them in other weeks, and just if they want to come down and clamp us, then we got to be able to go over the top. It's a great throw, and, you know, Wes made a heck of a play, and that was a huge play in the game.
What did you see from Aaron Hernandez? I know his mobility was a little bit limited with that.
You know, Aaron's really worked hard the last couple weeks to get back out there. He's, you know, in here early, stays late. He, you know, he's leaving like when the coaches are leaving. He's getting a lot of extra treatment. You know, he was able to come out and practice later on in the week, and, you know, handled a little bit more each day, kept getting better. So, you know, we felt confident going into the game, and he did, felt confident going into the game. And, you know, again, he got behind the defense a couple times, so, you know, he obviously, you know, still sort of got his speed back, and you know, thought he had a good couple days of practice at the end of the week, and was able to carry it over into the game. I mean, he's, you know, he's a tough guy to match up against. He's a good player.
He must have had a lot of confidence in him to keep him in the game.
He
seemed like he was.
Yeah, he seemed to be doing fine. Yeah, seemed to be, you know, we checked with those guys, and you know, as they're coming out, you know, we had a few guys banged up offensively that were, you know, fighting through some stuff, but they hung in there, and when we needed to give them a break, we did so.
Bill, you're around a third of the way through the season right now. Can you talk about the overall analysis of the team, and also
you go through this every year with everyone anticipating the Patriots are the team to beat. Is this sort of a badge of honor? Do you like the fact that everyone expects this team to do so well?
Yeah, we don't really care about all that. We'll get ready for Dallas next week. I don't think now it's time to reflect on anything. We'll look at this game. We'll correct our mistakes. We'll analyze things we did well, things we need to do better, and we'll get ready for the Cowboys. That's what we'll do next week.
Coach, what are some of the things, some of the mistakes that you feel like you need to get better with?
Oh, I think we can do better in everything. I think we can do better in all three phases of the game, our running game, our passing game, just our overall execution, and keep building on it. Red area, you can go right down the line. We're not playing a perfect game. We got to work on everything. Bill, do a better job of coaching it, just get our guys out there executing it better and just try to refine, take care of the little things, and, then some of the big plays come from some of the little things on the execution. So, better coaching, hopefully that'll lead to a little better play.
Bill,
how'd you guys do as far as, overall play as a defense and then just getting in the right play?
I didn't think we had a lot of coverage or defensively adjustment problems where we, couldn't get things lined up right or that kind of thing. I think Patrick and James Ahedebo did a real nice job. James did a great job for us today in his overall communication. Of course, he was pretty familiar with the team we were playing, but, he's a smart guy that really works hard, communicates well, and practiced well this week, and I thought he did a good job when he was in there, delivered a couple big hits and played well. So he helped us with communication as well as Gary and Spikes and Ninkovich. Just, those guys have been playing together, and especially Spikes now has had a few weeks where he's been in there, Gary, and so they had a good week of practice, Rob. So I think it's it's going better. I mean, it's not perfect, but we're making progress, definitely getting better.
Bill, you had two challenges that you threw the flag on in the game. Can you go back on the process you went through?
Good plays, good calls from upstairs. Our guys up in the booth got a good look at it and felt like, Dion was touched before the ball actually came out. He was still down. Had he gotten up and the ball, gotten punched out, that would have been a fumble, but it looked like he still had his knee or whatever part of his body, but I think it was his knee, was still on the ground when he got tagged, and then the ball came out for that. So, that was a good call upstairs. And then same thing on the catcher on the sideline. It looked like Burse, bobbled the ball a little bit. And then, that's always a tough call because he did come up with it. But I thought he bobbled it a little bit. But then the guys upstairs said that his toe came down on the line. So that, I think that really was why they called it incomplete. I don't know about the bobbling part, although to me, like, he did bobble it. But they called his foot on the toe on the line or foot on the line, whatever it was. So. Good job by our assistant coaches, guys upstairs, Ernie Adams and the other coaches that saw that.
Bill, last year in the playoff game, the Jets played a lot of defensive backs. It looks like they did the same thing today. Mm-hmm. They did it again. Did you feel like you were going to need to run the ball more this time around to capitalize on that?
We try to have a balanced offense. We try to run it and throw it. We did that, we've done that every time we played, and we did it today. We did it last week. I'm sure we'll do it again. They do a good job defensively. They give you a lot of different looks. Sometimes they put a bunch of defensive backs in the game and try to bait you into running it, and then they all, come up there and swarm you, and they just got more bodies than you do, even though they're smaller. But, you can't get them all blocked, or you don't have good blocking angles on them. So, they keep you honest. They do a good job, and it's a little bit of a chess match between, the play callers, and then, of course, the quarterback on the line of scrimmage trying to recognize it, and like I said, try to keep us out of, bad plays. That's the most important thing. In the end, you got to block them, you got to throw it, you got to catch it. But, if you call a play where you just have no chance because they got a guy standing right there, or, they blitz a guy that you can't block, then, those are the ones that you want the quarterback to keep you out of. Tom did a great job of that, like he usually does. He's very good at that.
Can you describe the physicalness of this game?
It's always physical against the Jets. They're physical. We try to be physical. And, they ran the ball. They came in, aggressively. Their front's physical. Our offensive line, stood there and battled with them. Our backs ran hard. Defensively, we slugged it out with them up there in front. So, it was a hard game. And that's what usually is. Same thing in a kicking game. There are some good hits on special teams. And, both teams played aggressively. That's the way it usually is with the Jets.
The second straight game, ball and pass, both, do you see an improvement, as far as the line game, really get the Mets together as pilots?
Well, again, I think the run games, it's a team thing. It's not just the line. It's the line. It's the tight ends. It's the backs. Part of it's the quarterback. Part of it's the receivers. You know, and of course, it's the guy carrying the ball. So, you know, everybody plays has a hand in that. You know, I think the better you run it, the better you can throw it. The better you throw it, the better you should be able to run it. So they kind of play off each other. You know, it's hard to keep calling runs when you don't gain anything. I mean, you know, after you call three or four of them and you're second and ten every time, you know, it's hard to keep calling them, especially if you're moving the ball through the air. So if you can, you know, match that production and have good positive gains in the running game and then have them in the passing game, and, you know, then as a play caller, you feel, you know, confident and comfortable, you know, calling pretty much anything. So, and again, that's a credit to the team, because we called a lot of different stuff and they executed it well. And again, they had to make some tough adjustments against some of the things the Jets did, but they did a pretty good job with it. It's a good team win. I mean, it's not, you know, I don't think you can just give it to any one guy. There's a lot of people that played well today, and you know, I think everybody feels good about it. Okay.
All right, that was Patriots head coach Bill Belichick following his club's 30-21 victory over the New York Jets. You're listening to the Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com with Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. Just a few thoughts on what Belichick touched on there. First of all, and I think this was apparent, I do not think it was Aaron Hernandez's greatest game today by any means, but I think you could tell from Bill Belichick, from his voice, that he sounded pleased with the effort that Hernandez gave you in this game today. Playing through an injury, and not only that, but being relatively productive as well. Now look, I thought he had a killer, inexcusable drop. Inexcusable. Other than that, 5 catches, 56 yards. You saw early on in the game that Brady and Hernandez struggled a bit to get on the same page. But I think from a gutting it out standpoint, you could tell from listening to Bill Belichick how pleased he was with the effort that Aaron Hernandez gave the Patriots today. He was also asked about the defense without Gerard Mayo. And I thought this was telling as well, saying, hey, you know what? I didn't think we had problems with guys lining up in the wrong spot or anything along those lines. There were no 12 men on the field like we saw last week against Oakland. No penalties like that. No procedural penalties defensively. And he singled out guys like James Ahedebu for stepping up and making sure that guys were in the right spot. Speaking of Ahedebu, unbelievable tweet that was passed along by Matt LePan behind the scenes here on the Patriots postgame show, but relayed via Ian Rappaport in the Boston Herald. This is what Rap Sheet tweets out. How quiet do the Patriots keep their internal moves? James Ahedebu found out he was starting for the first time this morning. Think about that for a second. Ahedebu comes in, essentially plays every snap, and found out this morning he was starting. So not only from a, hey, are you up to speed standpoint, but you have to imagine the adrenaline of going against your former club. That's something that the Patriots capitalized. And you see Ahedebu before the game. He's one of those guys who's really out there getting into it, dancing around the field. He's right behind Brady when the Patriots run out of the helmet, out of the tunnel before the game. He seems like someone who feeds off emotion a little bit. And I didn't think he had his greatest day in pass coverage by any means. And Kevin pointed it out. That's Antonio Holmes touchdown. Awful coverage by both Ahedebu and Kyle Arrington. But I thought there were a couple of times where he showed up, not only in run support, but a couple of times where he came up with big third down stops. And I thought specifically on the Jets, what was it? Fourth drive of the first quarter, fourth drive of the game. Ahedebu makes a key stop on Dustin Keller in a 7-0 football game. I thought that was representative of the way he played. I think he acquitted himself pretty nicely. Any issues you have with guys like Sergio Brown and James Ahedebu, those are coaching staff issues. You know, they're the ones who made those moves, cutting Brandon Merriweather, cutting James Sanders. So, you know, if Ahedebu looks a little suspect out there, that's a coaching staff issue or a personnel issue. But for me, I thought Ahedebu acquitted himself quite well. Also, just one other thought on Bill Belichick, and you heard him asked about this after the game. 2 for 2 on challenges today from Bill Belichick. Big day from him. Reverse that fumble from Deion Branch, which was an obvious one. We're sitting up there in the press box going, oh, he's clearly down. And there was also the play for the Jets, end of the third quarter. Plaxico Burress looks like he comes up with this great third down toe-tapping catch on the sideline. Had just a toenail over the line, and Bill Belichick threw the flag there. So multiple challenges from Bill Belichick today, and he hit on both. And you heard Belichick talk about that as well at the podium. Just continuing with your emails to webradio@patriots.com. Bob in Montreal writes in, to web radio at patriots.com. Hey, Adam, what I liked today was that Brady didn't have a great performance to win, and the Pats' offense was balanced and kept the Jets off balance. Shows me we don't need Brady to have a killer day in a game that gives us the win. I would disagree with that to some extent, Bob. I didn't think Brady had an off day like he did against the Bills. You know, there was one interception from Brady today, but that was clearly not his fault. That was right in and out of the hands of Aaron Hernandez. But, you know, I thought it was certainly not on par with what we saw out of Brady against San Diego, for instance, or obviously against Miami. But this was a nice, solid day out of Tom Brady. I'm not saying that this was a day where the offense sputtered and couldn't get it done. I still thought it was a pretty productive day from Brady. That said, the offense deserves some credit, or excuse me, the defense deserves some credit after this game today. 255 total yards. I don't care if you're going against a struggling offense like the New York Jets. You'll take it, especially when you hold the Jets to 3-for-11 on third downs, a problem area for the Patriots all year, going back to last year, and 7-3 and outs in this one. So that's not even on third downs. That's just getting the ball right back to your offense, which is explosive. So I think the defense deserves a lot of credit for the victory today. Speaking of Tom Brady, you'll hear from him at the podium following the Patriots' 9-point victory over the Jets. You'll also hear from Patriots wide receiver Wes Welker next here on the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights all right from the palm of your hand.
So what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Bats interception, yes!
Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet, anytime. He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10! Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening the seamstress.
Oh, that tie back is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
If you didn't know, AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Whoa, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you. From Boston sports to concert and theater, whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
I love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Visitor Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Welcome back to the Patriots Postgame Show, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Back to your phone calls in just a minute. Here on the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You know, one of the narratives all week, Tom Brady, his struggles against the New York Jets, and he did struggle in two of those games last year, the playoff loss and then in week two. The only game he played exceedingly well was that 45-3 victory in Foxborough last December 6th. But remember, Brady, 20-36 in week two, two touchdowns, two picks. Remember, that's the game where he's forcing it into Randy Moss time and time again. Then the playoff game left a sour taste in everyone's mouth. 29-45, two touchdowns and a pick. No longer the case for Brady and those struggles against the New York Jets, or at least that wasn't the case today. Brady, just 9 incompletions in the game today, and a lot of them I thought were more on Aaron Hernandez down the seam. Remember, Wes Welker also had a drop mixed in there, and the interception, not Brady's fault in the least. Now, not defending Brady on that, or going out of my way to defend Brady. It was a clear drop by Aaron Hernandez and went right into the hands of Antonio Cromartie. And you'll hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady at the podium shortly. Right now, I want to hit the phones. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Victor's in Dallas. And you're next up here on the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones. Hey, Victor.
Hey, what a game, Adam. I missed the entire first quarter due to the fact living in Dallas, they showed the Texans and Raiders game.
Ah.
But anyway, that's the way it is here. But anyway, how would you grade the pass rush, you know, Haynes Griffin in particular? I'm thinking long-term for our playoffs and later on. How do you grade Haynesworth at this point? No, I just ain't going to listen.
How do I grade Albert Haynesworth? I mean, it's hard to give him anything other than an F unless it's an incomplete at this point. I mean, am I wrong? With Albert Haynesworth, the guy can't even stay on the field from a condition. Did you see him today? This was exactly like the San Diego game. Did you see this? And not to go all negative here on the Patriots. They played overall pretty well, but Albert Haynesworth, this is a guy who I don't know how on earth he was an all-pro or close to being a defensive player of the year candidate. I mean, did you see him today? Couldn't even get off the field. He's cramping up, and he's out of shape. It's beyond obvious with Albert Haynesworth. I thought it was obvious in the San Diego game. He missed 2 weeks with a back injury. That's related to conditioning. And then you see him come out and struggle today. So I don't. If you want to give him an incomplete, fine. But I think he's been pretty disappointing. He's somebody who I thought would work out here on the field. You know, I had some questions off the field with Albert Haynesworth. I don't like him as a guy and some of the things he's done off the field. But on the field, I thought he's somebody who Bill Belichick would be able to get something out of, and that just clearly hasn't been the case. And conditioning and motivation and whatever else it is seems to be at the root of that problem for Albert Haynesworth. But look, not something we want to spend a ton of time on here on the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. Overall, good day for the defense, but another banner day for the Patriots offense. Very well balanced, not just on the ground, but through the air as well, spreading around the football. And someone at the heart of that, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, who was at the podium earlier tonight following his club's 30-21 victory over the Jets.
Important division game, and we're 4-1, so got a big one next week.
Tom, how much do you relish the challenge of going up against Rex Ryan and his team? It seems to be obviously quite challenging. It seems to be a challenge you sort of embrace.
One week it's him, one week it's, you know, the Bills coordinator, one week it's the Chargers. It's just, you know, whoever's on the schedule, that's who we're going to get ready for. So I thought we did a decent job at times, but I thought we obviously left a lot of points out there.
Tom, how impressed were you with Ben Jarvis, and how much did he help your passing game running the football?
He ran great. He always does. He's a tough runner. He's a real smart runner. He's patient, sees the holes. That was a big part of the win. I thought we were balanced. Ran a clock out at the end. That was important. And, we needed that when we call upon him, we need him, and he makes the play. So that was great.
What did you see at the line, and did you check off a time or two to make a play you thought was better?
We were just trying to get a line right. So, I think that drive we were moving pretty fast. So, we're just trying to get things communicated the right way and get them how we wanted them.
Just game plan on defense seemed kind of the same as the playoff game. A lot of defensive drives play a lot of coverage. How important was it to have more of a threat running the ball in this game as you did last year?
Well, we need to do it. We got to run the ball. If they got a lot of DBs out there, then we got to run it. If they put big guys in, we still got to run it. So, you just can't throw the ball every single down against these guys and make it too tough. But, I thought we could have done better running the ball. We could have done better passing the ball. So we'll try to make some improvements and move on to the Cowboys.
Challenging is it, Tom, to stay disciplined with the run when you're having uneven results against the defensive backs when they're loading the field with those D-backs?
Well, you hands off sometimes and it works. And then, if it doesn't work, you got to make adjustments. So, I thought we could have run it better, obviously. We could have thrown it better. We could have done a lot of things better on offense, and we're going to need to.
How nice was it to see everyone
there? It was good. There was a lot of guys that toughed it out. Gronk really toughed it out. Linemore toughened it out. Wes was out there. He fights his butt off. So it was a good group effort. Everyone who played made plays. So that was important. Last question.
Tom, can you talk about the week after week of being in the spotlight with the other team raising their game to go after you and the Patriots? Some people would say it's a badge of honor. Other franchises that have had great success go through that all the time. What's it like to have the team be so up, your opponent be so up against you every week, and do you be under attack every week?
Well, we don't think about it much like that. We really don't. Whoever we play, we're expecting to go out there and rise up to them also. And I don't think we ever have taken an opponent lightly. Every opponent's dangerous. We're going out there to try to play our best every week. And we expect the opponent's best every week, too. And we're not going to – you can't expect to go out there and get 6 turnovers a week and, win by 40. But you realize it's going to be a – come down to the fourth quarter and we got to make enough plays.
So. Is this a bit of a badge of honor with these teams? You're the team that they seem to focus on so much. I know they focus every week, but especially when they play games.
I'm not sure. I don't know how they focus. Thank you.
How about Brady at the podium, huh? Hey, last question, guys.
Second week in a row he's done that. He's the Stacey James
he's
of himself.
Done that a couple, he doesn't even need his own PR firm. Just, hey, guys, last question. And look, everybody in there ignored it, so I guess that's why he does it, and he just follows right up. But how about Brady up there? Yeah, last question, guys. Hey, no more. But you did hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady following his club's 9-point victory, 30-21, over the New York Jets, drops the Jets to 2-3. Patriots sitting the tie atop the division with the Bills at 4-1. You did hear from Brady a couple of different things. One, downplaying that whole Jets-Patriots rivalry. Said, hey, some weeks we got to prepare for San Diego. Some weeks it's Buffalo. Some weeks it's this week it was the Jets. Don't believe it, but you heard him downplaying that rivalry. Wasn't going to get into a war of words standing up there at the podium. Doesn't sound like any of the ex-Jets were getting into it as well. Just monitoring some of the tweets. Sean Ellis reading some of the comments from James Ahedibu. Doesn't sound like they got into the war of words either. And honestly, I spent a lot of time talking about this on ESPN Boston Radio, noon to 2 on ESPNBoston.com during the week. Just didn't feel like Patriots-Jets week. Most of the Jets' comments was infighting, talking to each other, arguing with each other, arguing with ex-players like Joe Namath. There wasn't a lot of, lobbed comments back and forth between the Patriots and Jets this week. And usually it's coming from New York. The Jets or Patriots don't typically answer. Didn't feel like a typical Patriots-Jets week here in Boston. Maybe it was because of everything going on with the Red Sox or the Bruins and their Stanley Cup banner raising on Thursday night. And by the way, Bruins were here, which was just another phenomenally well-done pregame ceremony today. I thought it was great at the Garden the other night. I was over there, and I thought they did a good job with that here today as well. They came out in their Bruins jerseys, then wound up ripping those off and rocking Patriots jerseys. I thought that was a nice ceremony before the game as well. Really got the crowd into it. How'd you do? That Bruins wave? Huh?
How did I do out there? I was kind of coordinating.
I saw you out there when
I was right
when
next Horton to Horty when he was squirting the water bottle.
I saw you out there.
That was my moment. That was my claim to fame.
You were right. You were all over the scoreboard. I saw it. Good for Kevin Collins out there. But I just think that, I mean, obviously, you know, Brady can downplay it all he wants. This is a game that has a little extra added importance. And you heard that from Green Ellis when he joined us earlier here on the Patriots postgame show. I also, and this one's obvious, but you heard Brady talk about the importance of balance. And it's just so clear. I think the offense has run even smoother if it makes sense these last 2 weeks. You know, it's no longer just airing it out. It's no longer forcing it into Welker, who, again, I thought had a good day. And we'll get to Wes Welker here in just a little bit. But I just think when you're balanced like this, it just frees up so much for Tom Brady. And you know it just takes a load off his mind. And it just makes it that much easier for this offense to function at a high level. We told you right off the bat, nearly perfect symmetry, perfect balance. 35 rushes for 152 yards, 33 passes, 294 yards. That's how you draw it up. I don't mind if the Patriots throw it a little bit more than they run. That's fine. But what you want to do is get the balance, ground and air, and also spread it around to different receivers. And that was the recipe for success, in my opinion, against the Jets defense. And the Patriots did that to a T today. It's the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. Timothy is next up on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. He calls in from Pensacola, Florida. What's going on, Tim?
Hey, Adam. I just got back from the game, and I've been a long-time listener to the post-game show is relatively new, but a long-time listener to PFW and listen to every episode of the post-game show.
Appreciate it, man.
Thanks. I just want to say I'm really excited about this game because my biggest fear with the Patriots this year was Brady under pressure. And generally, he's had pretty much a good offensive line, but if you've seen where the Patriots have crumbled, it's when Brady gets a ton of pressure. And this game, he had a ton of pressure, and the offense was still able to move smoothly. So,
no, I thought he was, look, what was it, 4 sacks in that first half, or at least early on in the second half. You know, the Jets were getting after him a little bit. They had 4 sacks in this game today, 2 by Westerman. I agree, Tim. We just talked about this a couple of minutes ago, where, you know, that narrative coming into the week was Brady, and this is a team that he just tends to struggle against. It's been a difficult matchup for Tom Brady. Today, the Jets did get their licks in. They got some hits on Tom Brady, but the offense fired on all cylinders. I'd agree, Tim. That was a step in the right direction for this club offensively. Absolutely.
Yeah, and then one last quick thing is just that with Ocho Cinco, with those two catches, those two amazing catches, I'm not sure if I'm ready to write off that drop against Buffalo, but if we continue to get production out of Ocho Cinco like that, I think he'll work out well. And I just want to say thanks for the post-game show. I love you, and I love Fred Kirsch. You two are awesome.
All right, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for the kind words. Giving us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. I'm no Fred Kirsch, Kevin. We all know that. I'm no Fred Kirsch. But in terms of Chad Ocho Cinco, I do think it's interesting. I thought this week was just almost a mirror image of last week against Oakland. Where'd he show up? 2-minute drill. Back-to-back. It was like the exact same thing over again. And it just tells you, you know, Ocho Cinco's being used. He started the game today. Patriots started out the game empty. Remember, their first play of the game, Wes Welker was covered by Eric Smith, I believe it was, or it might have been Strickland. Smith is the one who wound up making the tackle that I have jotted down here in my notes. But first play of the game, start out empty. 5 wides. Green Ellis is split out wide. Ocho Cinco's on the field. They spread you out. And so he was out there at the beginning of the game. But then really, where was his impact outside of the 2-minute offense? You didn't see a heck of a lot out of Chad Ocho Cinco, and another false start out of him today. So yes, 2 catches, and one was just phenomenal. Highlight reel variety. Toe tap. Tremendous catch from Ocho Cinco. And then he had a 3rd down conversion on the very next play. But it's 2 steps forward and 1 step back, literally, with Chad Ocho Cinco. 2 catches today in the 2-minute offense, and then a false start. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. That's where Fred writes in from Dublin. Hey, Adam, I'm loving the ground-and-pound approach by the Patriots these last few games. Takes me back to those Super Bowl years where they could go on those 8-9-minute drives. It takes pressure off the defense and gives them time to rest. I would rather have these kind of games than the 38-24s where the pressure is on the defense for the most part, despite the big scoring from the offense. And I agree. You know, we've been talking about this. I think you can be a passing team in this league. I think that's pretty clear. You know, the Packers do it well. The Saints do it well. And what do they have in common? They won the last two Super Bowls. So you don't have to be a run-it-first offense. I don't believe that by any means. But you do need some balance. And I think we've seen that the last 2 weeks, and that's part of the reason why we've seen this offense, which was already running at a very highly efficient level, but it does bail out the defense a little bit, as Fred points out, writing into web radio at Patriots.com. And here's what he's talking about. You look at some of these drives, and granted, the longest one of the game was that last drive where they had to run down the clock, and they did. We told you, Green Ellis, 10 carries for 59 yards on that drive. It was a 13-play, 6-minute drive, and two Jets timeouts were used on that drive. So it would have eaten up even more clock. But the Patriots also had a 12-play drive right before halftime, which was actually when they were in their 2-minute offense. That was when Ocho Cinco was getting involved, and it actually ended in that interception for the New England Patriots right before halftime, through the hands of Hernandez, into the hands of Cromartie. They also had an 11-play, 77-yard drive, 5.5 minutes. So they're not eating up huge chunks of time per se, Kevin, but they are taking those long, back-breaking drives where they convert on third down, and they give the defense some time to stay fresh. And you know what? The best thing the Patriots can do right now is keep that defense off the field, keep them fresh, and that's where you saw
keep
it.
Them, they keep them Subway fresh,
they
Jones.
They get some of the... It's a good little plug there, Kevin.
But I wanted to ask you...
Keep them off the field to force those three and outs. That's what the Patriots defense did all day today. And you know what? It's why I think it was their best defensive effort of the season. Not that there's been a lot of these awesome defensive efforts, but the last 2 weeks, it's been better.
But I wanted to ask you about that pick to end the half, the ball that went off Hernandez's hands.
Sure.
After looking at that a time or two, I felt that was my bad on Hernandez's part. What did you think about that play? Who's to blame right
there? The pick?
What?
The pick right before it was 100% Hernandez.
Okay.
What do you mean?
Just making sure. I heard some varying opinions.
Did you think it was Brady?
No, I thought it was Hernandez 150%.
Yeah, okay. Just
but I've heard some other opinions.
No, that was a billion percent Aaron Hernandez, no doubt in my mind. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. We talked about that Patriots balance, not just on the ground, but also through the air, spreading the football around. One guy that Brady is locked on to an awful lot this season, Wes Welker. Another huge day for him. 73-yard catch, one of five receptions for Wes Welker. And he met with the media earlier today following his club's victory over the New York Jets here in Foxborough.
It was just one of those plays where, the safety was a little over aggressive, and we run a similar type play and ran the ball. And so, I kind of got a feel for what that safety was doing. So I went down and then kind of acted like I was going to block him and then took off on it. And Tom made a good throw and hopefully next time I can just finish that out.
As a guy who's made his money underneath and over the middle, are you starting to get used to this feeling of taking the top off the defense and running down the
air? I love it. I mean, anytime you can get the ball deep and make some big plays like that, it's huge for our offense. So the more you can do out there and the better off we're going to be. Just continue to try and make plays every time we get a chance.
Defensively, how similar were they to what they did last January?
They were somewhat similar. I think there was a lot more man this time around. They still did some different type things and kind of mixed it up on who was over me and different things like that. I think it was more situational when they brought somebody in, down on me or different things like that.
You still had five catches to 124 yards. How much was Reed as a factor covering you 101?
He's always a factor. I mean, he's a great player, so you definitely have to make sure that you're very crisp with all your routes and really kind of set them up with stuff and be smart about it. And every play is kind of go time when he's across from you. So he does a great job of all that. So it's a little game of cat and mouse almost sometimes with him. You just got to keep on plugging away and hopefully get some big plays every once in a while.
With the productivity of the running game, how much does that open stuff up for you guys as far as the passing game goes? Maybe that play today was a deep play.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can run the ball, it's going to set up some play action type deals and things like that, which is what happened on that first play in the second half. So anytime you run the ball and vice versa, being able to throw it, and that's going to help out the run game. So both those have to be on the same page and make sure that we're doing everything necessary to try and move the ball, whether run or pass.
Listen, you just talked about the week of practice and the game. Coach said it was probably the best week you guys have had.
Yeah, I mean, guys came in very focused, understanding that this is a big game for us, and it can really get us a jump start in the division. I think the guys did a great job of really understanding our game plan and really kind of moving the ball down the field. And it all starts in practice, and you know, whenever we do it there, it always carries over.
How much did it benefit you and the offense as a whole to get Hernandez back out there in the mix?
Yeah, I mean, anytime, you know, Aaron's such a great player, and anytime you get more weapons out there on the field and more places that we can go with the ball, it's, you know, it's always going to help us out. So it's always great to get those weapons out there.
Any other questions?
We're good? All right, thanks, guys.
All right, that was Patriots wide receiver Wes Welker. Another huge effort from him in this football game against the New York Jets. Welker today. 5 catches, 124 yards, 73 of them came on one catch. And look, I sat here during the week. On Monday, I made the prediction that, you know, Rex Ryan would find a way to limit Wes Welker. Little wrong on that prediction.
Really beautiful feet.
Welker continues to put up video game numbers. He's done it just about every week. The only week that he kind of didn't was the San Diego game. Other than that, 160-ish yards against Miami, 99-yard touchdown week one. Shattered franchise records in week three, that victory over Buffalo. And then last week came back with another huge effort against Oakland.
When did they beat Buffalo?
Did I say win? Yes. Oh, excuse me, that game against
Broke
Buffalo.
My heart.
Excuse me, pardon me.
You just got me really excited.
Shattered records in that game against Buffalo. Excuse me, Kevin.
That's why I'm here, Jones.
But Welker today, I thought he said a couple interesting things. You know, one, he said, look, hopefully I can finish off that play next time on the 73-yarder where Revis just closed in. I thought a great effort from Darrell Revis. And that ties in with one thing that I've been seeing a little bit. You know, and these are the official stats. Chris Forsberg, ESPNBoston.com, was tracking this all game. And forgive me, other people were doing it as well. This is just where I caught it. Welker against Revis. There were 11 drives in the game. There were 42 plays where Revis was on Welker. 42. Welker was targeted 3 times, made 2 receptions for 77 yards. Now, those catches were a 73-yard play. And a 4-yard catch, 3rd down conversion, which I thought was a nice little play from Wes Welker, if you remember it. Right over on the sideline. It was right before the interception from Brady at the end of the first half. Which, again, wasn't Brady's fault, through the hands of Hernandez. But that was the timing of it. It was a big conversion at the time as the Patriots were driving before halftime. But I don't know how much of that 73-yard reception is on Revis. Like, yes, he was involved in the play, but the way I jotted down my notes, and again, first play of the second half, Patriots come out. They deferred to start the game. They won the coin toss, deferred. So they get the ball to start the second half. First play of the second half, play action pass. It's something that they must have seen. Went right to Welker, directly down the seam, after Brady had already missed Aaron Hernandez a couple of times earlier in the game on a similar play. They finally connect on it, 73 yards. Revis started out on Welker on that play. But Revis also handed him off to the safety, Eric Smith. And I thought that was the guy who was at fault on that play. And Revis wound up closing out and closing the gap extremely fast on Wes Welker, and I thought made a pretty great effort on that play. So, look, by and large, I thought Revis won that matchup against Wes Welker today. But the Patriots won the game, and I thought Wes Welker, when Revis wasn't on him, still was involved. Like Strickland, Wilson, none of those guys could hang with Welker today. And we knew that coming in. The Jets exercised their resources on Welker. 42 plays he was on Welker. We've never seen it before in the 5 times they've met up with Belichick and Rex Ryan. Never seen it. 42 plays today. 3 targets, 2 receptions. But you know what? That's part of the reason why Deion Branch was so productive today. 7 catches, 74 yards, and a touchdown. Because a lot of the attention was being paid to Wes Welker. I wasn't sure if somebody took away Welker. Not that they took him away. But, you know, if you were game planning to take away Wes Welker, if the other targets could step up, and they did today. I thought Gronkowski had a very underrated day. Bunch of 3rd down conversions from him. 4 catches, 31 yards. It was quiet, but caught every pass thrown his way. I thought he had a nice game today. Some big timely catches from Gronkowski. Hernandez there as well. Again, the stats aren't eye-popping, but he gutted through an injury and I thought made some key catches for the Patriots in that game, the huge, costly drop aside. Just a couple other thoughts from Wes Welker. You heard him say that their defense was similar to what it's been in the past, but there was more man defense, and there were obvious allusions to Darrell Revis covering him. He said, you know, whoever they brought down in the slot on me, of course, Darrell Revis. So again, I thought Darrell Revis won that matchup, but overall the Patriots had other weapons to exploit the Jets in that game today, and that speaks to the offensive balance from the New England Patriots, something that I wasn't totally sold on coming into this game. And they proved that they have it, not just on the ground, but also through the air as well, utilizing multiple targets. It is the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's how you get in touch. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. You've already heard from Patriots running back Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, Coach Bill Belichick, quarterback Tom Brady, also Wes Welker, all from the podium. You'll hear from nose tackle Vince Wilfork as the defense comes up with a nice game today against the New York Jets. Limits them to 255 total yards. Big third down defense from the Patriots. You'll hear from Wilfork next here on Patriots.com.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights all right from the palm of your hand.
So what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Pat's interception, yes! Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet. Anytime. He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10! Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening my seamstress.
Oh, that tieback is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
If you didn't know, AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Oh, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. I love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots kicker Steven Gostkowski, and you're listening to the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio.
Steven Gostkowski, 3 field goals in this game today. as the Patriots pick up a 9-point win over the Jets.
He also listens to the postgame show.
He was the difference. Kevin, he was the difference in the game. Three field goals, including that one that sealed it at the end. Look, 44-yarder, and then a couple of short ones for Gostkowski, 24 and 27. That was the one that put him over the top at the end, came inside of the two-minute warning when the Jets were out of timeouts. As the Patriots do take care of the New York Jets, they move to 4-1 with a 30-21 victory over New York. We'll take a spin around the AFC East in just a little bit. You can get in touch on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us, webradio@patriots.com. It is the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. And just looking over some of those emails, Vins writes in to webradio@patriots.com. While the defense certainly seemed up for the game today, despite the anemic Jets offense coming to town, and I will jump in, Vins, their offense is not just anemic, it is just such a bland offense. And I know Brian Schottenheimer is catching a ton of flack in New York. Rightfully so. Rightfully so. There was a play where I flipped out in the press box earlier where it was like second down on, it was like second and nine, and they run an inside handoff with John Connor on like a draw, the fullback. And it's like, what are you doing? It's the most vanilla, bland, boring offense. And you're sitting there going, I get why Brian Schottenheimer is under all kinds of heat or getting all kinds of heat from the New York media. I totally understand it.
Don't talk to me, all right?
So,
knock it off!
So look, yes, it's an anemic offense. Give the Patriots defense credit because you'll take it where you can get it at this point with how much they've struggled. But anemic Jets offense. Good point. Vince continues, how do you feel about the pass defense? Specifically, how do you feel about Devin McCourty? Is this a sophomore slump or is this the performance we'll get from a first rounder? I got to tell you, I thought McCourty, for the most part, didn't show up today. And that's a good thing. He wasn't getting beat. You know, the only time I have him in my notes, and I wanted to double check on this, the only time I remembered writing anything down on McCourty was the Jets' first down of the game. Came on their fifth drive, first drive of the second quarter for the Jets. It wound up being a 3-yard touchdown run by Sean Green. 19-yard catch by Plaxico Burress. That's it. That's the only time I wrote down anything on Devin McCourty. I mean, the Jets didn't exactly throw a lot. And when they did, they weren't extremely effective. You know, Mark Sanchez, only 26 passes, 166 yards, couple touchdowns. But no, by and large, I mean, the breakdowns in the secondary were Arrington and Ahedibu on that Holmes touchdown. I told you about Brandon Spikes off the bat and the good, the bad, and the injured, and just the awful defense he had. Where not only did he not cover Plaxico Burress on that 9-yard drag on third down, but also bumped Gary Guyton, so he couldn't cover him either. You know, I thought there were some obvious breakdowns for the Patriots in the secondary, but by and large, they had a productive day. And I thought Devin McCourty, second week in a row that he played well. Second week in a row where you sat there and you said, you know what? He didn't get burned and toasted a whole bunch like he did in the preseason and like he did the first 3 weeks of the year where it was Brandon Marshall, followed by Vincent Jackson, followed by Stevie Johnson. There was none of that in this game today. So it's not like he flashed and made a bunch of plays. Weren't a lot of pass breakups from McCourty today. But he wasn't getting burned either. And I thought that's been a step forward for Devin McCourty, similar to how it's been a step forward for the entire defense, which held the Jets to just 21 points, 3 for 11 on third downs. They forced 7 three and outs. And someone right at the top of that list for the reason that the Jets struggled to pick up any yards today, Vince Wilfork, who spoke at the podium earlier following his club's 9-point victory over the New York Jets.
I think we stepped up big today defensively. I think every week we've been getting better and better and better. And today was a good day to get back on track. And I think a lot of guys took it upon themselves to actually go out and, you know, make plays and be in the right position and not give up big plays. So I'm very proud of the defense. Is everything perfect? No. There's a lot of things that we can do better. But I think, you know, the penalties down, giving up, not giving up big plays, stuff like that, that made it, you know, pretty impressive for us. So we had to continue to grow. I mean, we definitely had to continue to grow, continue to get better. But I think we definitely did a good job today.
Vince, coach was talking about the week of practice. You wanted to just talk. He thought it was one of your best weeks of the season.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, it's 2 weeks in a row that we actually, you know, from coming to here on Tuesdays on our day off, watching film all the way, you know, Saturday night, meaning heading to a game that I think we really nailed it. And, you know, Bill didn't give up. I mean, it was to the last second. I think we was in here with our 2:15 meeting still, you know, talking about some things that we have to do to win this ball game. And I think everybody took it upon themselves to make sure that we be in pretty decent shape as the game go on. And we were. So we executed the game plan. We knew it was going to be a tough game. We know, both teams are going to slug it out. Points going to be, they're going to make plays. We're going to make plays. But we knew we just had to hang in there tough, play good, solid football, and we'd be okay. And I think we did tonight. I think third down was a plus for us tonight. The yardage, no big plays. I think that's probably the biggest impressive stat, from us. Like I said, it wasn't perfect, but it's a step in the right direction.
You guys are string together, I think, three straight three and outs. Can that kind of pick up momentum and pick up rhythm for a team that, when you're stringing that kind of thing?
You know what? Every time that we did it, and offense went out, and we were right back on the field. It was just, I just remember guys just saying to one another, "Hey, let's do it again," because we knew eventually our offense was going to get on track and put some points. So every week we have that offense. So I think the better we get defensively, the better this team would be. And I think it's starting to head in the right direction. So that's one thing we're going to have to continue to build on, especially going forward with this week. Cowboys coming to town, so we're going to need another great week of practice. And I think everybody can see what the week, two good weeks of practice is, what it can do for us. And I think everybody's momentum, confidence is up. We play good football, and we just need to start stringing together for 60 minutes.
When you hear an opposing coach say his offense wants to get back to the ground and pound, as a defensive tackle, is that a little bit of a challenge? All right.
Well, we know the Jets wanted to run the ball. I mean, that's what they do best. Why wouldn't you when you have two good backs and a good offensive line? And I was surprised they went away from that, because that's their strength, is running the football. So we knew they were coming back into this game that, they was going to try to get the ground game rolling. At times they did, but the same at times we buckled down. So I think you just saw two teams today that play each other all the time, and it's always tough. When you play a division game, it's always tough, especially with the Jets. But you just saw two good football teams go at it. We know one another. You may see a few wrinkles, but, they do what they do. And they want to play physical. So Bill challenged us this week, and I think we rose to the occasion.
Just on that last point from Vince Wilfork, because we spent a lot of time talking about this during the week, and it's because Rex Ryan came out early and said we want to get back to the ground and pound, after his team just got rocked on national television, embarrassed by the Baltimore Ravens.
That's being a jackass.
Said he wants to get back to the ground and pound, and they did. Now, I still think the Jets should have aired it out a little bit more, tested this Patriots secondary. But I thought they ran it okay. I mean, it's certainly not like, as Wilfork said, they had their moments. But they really did try to get that identity back tonight. And you have to wonder if that's part of the reason they shot themselves in the foot. Not the most creative, elaborate game plan from the New York Jets. They couldn't convert on big third downs. Credit that Patriots defense. So you heard Wilfork talking about the importance of those three and outs. You also heard him talk about something that's been echoed by a number of his teammates over the course of this postgame. As we got about, 20 minutes left here on the postgame show, you can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. I just think one of the things you heard from a number of different players on that Patriots club talking about it, we had a great week of practice. And, sometimes I hear that and I just go, sure, you had a great week of practice. But did you hear what Wilfork said? He said the last 2 weeks have been great weeks of practice. And what does that tell you? Since the loss, they've been a more focused team. And you just have to wonder if that means, maybe they had the wake-up call they needed by losing to Buffalo. And I remember we did the post-game show that night right here on Patriots.com. I talked to a lot of you. And a lot of Patriots fans says, hey, maybe this is like that Browns game last year, the wake-up call that the Patriots needed. And so far through 2 weeks, I think that's proved to be the case. The offense couldn't rest on its laurels, couldn't just sling the ball all over the football field. They've gotten back to a more balanced attack. And I think the defense has had shown improvements each of the last 2 weeks against the Raiders and then this week against the New York Jets with a 30-21 victory earlier tonight here at Foxborough. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium on Patriots.com. It's the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us, webradio at Patriots.com. Well, I want to tick through some of these. John's in Los Angeles, but wants to point out he's born and bred in Wilbraham, Mass. So John writes into webradio at Patriots.com, Adam, people tend to forget this game was close throughout. The Patriots defense still scares me. Even though they were playing run heavy, this mix in the offense, is what we've been looking for. Yet again, it all comes down to the defense. Quality quarterback with top-notch wide receivers, and we're in trouble. Did you see anything in the secondary that I might not have caught that's showing me we're making a step forward? Well, John, in terms of taking a step forward, no, not really. I mean, there's nothing that jumped out, although I think Kyle Arrington has shown you something through the first 5 weeks of the season. I know he had terrible coverage on that Santonio Holmes touchdown, along with James Ahedibu, who I thought was more at fault on that touchdown. But I think Kyle Arrington's shown you something, and I think all you need to do is look at where he's playing. When it's just two corners out there, and the Patriots aren't in a sub-package, Arrington's the other outside cornerback alongside Devin McCourty, or opposite Devin McCourty, I should say. And then when there are three cornerbacks on the field, it's usually Arrington who goes into the slot, and Lee Bodden lines up outside, but he's getting more reps over Lee Bodden. I don't know how much of that has to do with the injury to Lee Bodden, or how much of it has to do with Kyle Arrington showing you something through the first 5 weeks. So that's maybe one thing, the play of Kyle Arrington. But also, the fact that Rozai Dowling didn't play today, I thought was interesting. And I say didn't play, I mean, I don't have the official snaps in front of me, but Kevin, did you see him out there at all? Did you see Rozai Dowling out on the field at all?
I did not spot
him. I didn't either. So perhaps there were a couple of snaps that I missed from Rozai Dowling, but he and Shane Vereen and Taylor Price, they're all in the same boat. You know, they're playing. I mean, they're on the active roster, I guess I should say, but they're not playing. They didn't get out on the field. You know, I didn't see any snaps from any of those three. So, you know, I think it has a chance to get better with Rozai Dowling back in there. I thought through the first couple of weeks before he got hurt, didn't look out of place, and showed you a few things. So that's one area where you can sit there and go, well, all right, maybe there's still some more room for improvement. I also thought Ahedibu, and me and you disagree on this, he was toasted on that Santonio Holmes touchdown. Yeah. But what did Vince Wilfork just say, Kevin? No big plays. They didn't get beat over the top for any explosive plays in this football game. Now, some of that may have to do with what the Jets did in the game or their personnel. But I thought Ahedibu back there was a bit of a stabilizing force. I thought he showed up a couple of times on third downs, made big stops. I thought he showed up in run support a couple of times, and you heard Belichick single him out after the game. I don't think he was, you know, Rodney Harrison reincarnated. But I thought he played okay back there. I thought there was more good than bad from Ahedibu in that game tonight. And I know you disagree with me, Kevin.
We just got to confirm that Dowling did not play.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I mean, I didn't believe that I saw him out there at all in this game today. So it tells you what?
And also,
it tells you he's just not totally healthy yet. They have other injuries.
I mean, it's
out
like
there.
That Mike and Mike commercial. What makes them different is what makes them great. I mean, we can have two different opinions.
No, that's fine. I just think, I mean, I don't know. I'd be curious to hear from people on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradiopatriots.com. I thought Ahedibu played pretty well. And I wonder how much of it was Belichick's decision to go with Ahedibu just against his former club and try to get that extra emotion, that extra adrenaline level, and how much of it was just how atrocious. Sergio Brown, who I love, who's been on the show, we've interviewed him for ESPN Boston Radio as well, but last week against Oakland, he was atrocious. And that probably has more to do with it. They tried Sergio Brown, it didn't work, so they said, all right, Ahedibu, is your ex-team, you're out there, let's see what you can do, and I thought he played okay.
I think you just like saying Ahedibu's name.
Yeah?
Because, I mean, it seems like every 3 seconds I hear, Ahedibu, Ahedibu. I'm going to make a montage for next week if you just rap Ahedibu's name.
Do it. We'll see. We'll see if he flashes again next week. I thought he played okay. Again, you can give us a call. He's Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio at patriots.com. About 15 minutes left. We'll go till a little in front of 9:30 Eastern time here on patriots.com tonight. So if you want to jump in line, we'll continue to tick through your emails here. Webradio at patriots.com. Good evening, Adam. This is Hugh in London writing in. Good evening, Adam. You think there was an issue with the offensive line in the game today? Brady seemed to be getting hit a lot. Also, there was a quite uncharacteristic three and outs. They were concerning. Keep up the good work. Appreciate the email, Hugh, writing into webradio at patriots.com. There was only one three and out in the game, if I'm not mistaken, from the New England Patriots. I'm looking at two right now. Two 3-and-outs from the Patriots. Both came early on in that third quarter. Those are the only times they went 3-and-out in the game. They forced a number of 3-and-outs defensively, but just two 3-and-outs offensively for the Patriots. I think the offensive line had a great day on the ground. I thought, look, and look who you're going against, too. I mean, you have to factor in that you're going against the Rex Ryan coach defense. He's going to bring pressure from different areas on the field. That's one of his trademarks, even if they don't get there. And they did today, 4 sacks in the game. But even if they don't get there, remember who you're going against. This is a defense that brings pressure from a lot of different areas, and that's what his defense is predicated on. It wasn't Baltimore, it is here in New York. I thought they struggled a little bit protecting Tom Brady in the passing game, but I thought in terms of getting out there and getting on your blocks and really moving the Jets' defensive players off the line and giving Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis room to run, and granted, Green-Ellis found room when it was there. I thought the offensive line, in terms of run blocking, had a phenomenal day, though. So I'd say it was more good than bad from the offensive line today, even though Brady was under a little bit of pressure. Remember who they were going against, the team that gets a lot of pressure on opposing quarterbacks, regardless of who they are. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Let's go to Lee in Westford, Massachusetts. You're next up here on the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones. Hey, Lee.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to say, I know since Brady's leg injury from a couple years ago, we are seeing, you know, when he came back in 09, when he sustained a few hits in the game, he started to go all Donovan McNabb and kind of throw balls into the turf near the receivers.
Happy feet, little jittery. I know what you're saying.
And it looked like tonight, I was worried about that because he started getting hit. But then he looked like the Brady from the early years where he just stand in the pocket knowing he was about to get slammed and just toss the ball. I mean, he wasn't, you could just tell he wasn't as worried about it. Like, he was looking for the rush.
He wasn't bailing out. He wasn't bailing out. I'd agree with that.
Right, exactly. Like, it looked like he's back on track. Like, he's a lot more comfortable in the pocket than he'd been.
Yeah, and certainly, Lee, against this Jets team, that's something that he hasn't been. And that's one of the criticisms. We talked about that narrative of struggling specifically against the New York Jets. I think that has a lot to do with it, the point that you just brought up, where not just actually getting the pressure on Brady, but once you hit him a couple of times, I think we saw this in the Buffalo game a little bit. You know, once you hit him a little bit, is he bailing out? That's going to happen with any quarterback. And I think on balance today, Lee, you're right. He did a better job hanging in the pocket, waiting in there till the last possible second to stick those throws in there. I think that was an area where he made progress against the New York Jets. So, Lee, thanks for the phone call. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Just continuing with some of the emails. Omid writes in, Pac-Man, I was amazed at the defense today. I was wondering if you could analyze Brandon Spikes' role in the defense. Law firm was insane as well. Thanks, go Pats. We've talked a lot about Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis. In fact, we talked to Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis earlier on the Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. You know, Brandon Spikes is a tough one for me. You know, he's somebody that I expected something out of this season. I expected to see some growth out of Brandon Spikes. And I thought last week was an okay week for him, in all honesty. I thought against Oakland, he showed up a little bit. I think he was a part of the reason why they limited Darren McFadden more than I thought they would. I didn't think McFadden killed him last week. He had that one long carry, and that was it. So I thought the Oakland game was an okay game for Brandon Spikes. But that's a game where you expect him to thrive, a team that runs it a lot. And the Jets did that a lot today. I don't know. I didn't see him showing up much in the running game. I didn't see him filling gaps and really getting in there and, you know, putting stops on Sean Green, who had the bulk of the carries for the Jets today. I didn't see any of that from Brandon Spikes, and he's just so exposed in pass coverage. And look, the Patriots are just so thin at linebacker, and they were before the Mayo injury. But now with the Mayo injury, they're just so thin. It's like, what do you expect him to do? But he can't be a three-down player. He can't be out there in some of those obvious passing downs, and the Patriots are asking that out of him at this point. And I've cited this play a couple of times. It's what put him on my bad list tonight. But that 9-yard drag route to Plaxico Burress, where he just, it was a third down play. He picked his own teammate, couldn't cover Burress. Like, that to me sums up Brandon Spikes in the passing game. So I don't know. I didn't see a lot of good out of Brandon Spikes in that game tonight. Continuing with your emails, webradio@patriots.com. Fred writes in, hey, Adam, do you think the defense turned a corner today? Despite the 3 touchdowns, I thought it was a great performance. Also, what do you think of Arrington's play the last few weeks? Well, we did address Arrington a little bit earlier. And I think whether it's just Bodden's injury and Dowling's injury, he's gotten a chance to play more. I think he's shown up a little bit. And I think all you need to do to get the coach's view on Kyle Arrington is look at who's playing out there. You know, when the Jets have 2 wide receiver sets or the opponent has 2 receiver sets, it's typically Arrington who's out there with McCourty. And then when they go to the sub packages, it's Arrington who bumps inside on the slot. So I think his play has been a bright spot for the Patriots the last couple of weeks. And look, he was the guy who had two picks in that Bills game. I think overall he's had a nice little season for what you would want out of Kyle Arrington, undrafted guy out of Hofstra. I think he's had a nice little season. And he started a ton of games for the Patriots last year, and I think he's picked up and made improvements. You know, not a shutdown corner by any means, but I think he's made some nice plays for the Patriots this season. And again, the way the coaches use him, I think, should tell you that they feel the same way. But on the defense, yeah, I don't know if they've turned a corner. Like, in other words, that they're going to start shutting people down left and right. They have the Dallas Cowboys coming in here next Sunday at 4:15, and we'll talk to you after that one here on Patriots.com. You know, the Cowboys are dinged up, especially in the passing game. Dez Bryant, you have to imagine the bye week's been good for him. Miles Austin, hurt as well, hasn't been playing for the Cowboys. But that's an explosive offense, and an offense that does air it out. So I'd be curious to see how the Patriots match up against the Cowboys specifically when they come in here next week. So I don't want to say they turned a corner. I don't want to say that they've figured anything out. But for the last 2 weeks against run-first offenses, they've been pretty good. The Raiders and the Jets now. You know, Campbell beat you through the air. This was easily their best game in the secondary. You know, and they didn't even force any turnovers in this one. But, you know, for me, I think the last 2 weeks against run-first offenses, they've been better. They were a little bit better last week, and then they were even better this week, specifically on third down, specifically forcing those three and outs. So we'll see how they fare against a pass-first offense. The Dallas Cowboys, a team that does like to air it out. Jason Witten, the next best tight end you're going to see in this league after Antonio Gates. He's on that same list. Patriots, by the way, and we talked about this on ESPN Boston Radio during the week. I remember Bill Belichick during the week talking about Antonio Gates, the Chargers week. And I remember him singling out Gates as more of a receiver than a balanced tight end. And he said the exact same thing about Dustin Keller coming into this week. Not that Keller is in Antonio Gates' league by any means. But similar type of player. Certainly the same style of tight end. You don't have to be concerned about him in the blocking game. And that just kind of jumped out to me. And you know what? The Patriots similarly limited Dustin Keller in this game today. One catch, 7 yards. He's a guy who would victimize them in the past. In that playoff game last year, week two, the Jets' first win of the season against the Patriots last season. And the Patriots just totally took him away. That's a win for the Patriots. So they've taken away Gates. They took away Keller today. They've struggled against some lesser tight ends. Kevin Boss beat him repeatedly in the Oakland game. Same thing with Anthony Fasano in the Dolphins game. So we've seen a mixed bag against tight ends from the Patriots. But oddly enough, it seems like the better ones, if they game plan to take away guys like Gates and guys like Keller, I believe they could take away Jason Witten next week as we start to look ahead a little bit to that Cowboys game coming in here to Gillette Stadium next Sunday. Remember, the Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys?
Exactly. Cowboys had a bye week this week. So they have been full-on attention mode to the New England Patriots. And they strike me as a team similar to the Chargers, a team that you just know is going to shoot themselves in the foot. You just know they're going to do that when they come in here. But look, a lot of offensive talent for the Cowboys, certainly more than the Patriots have gone up against the last 2 weeks. Dez Bryant, you know, Witten. What was that? What is that? What are you doing?
Shooting yourself in the foot. It was a gunshot.
I'm shooting myself in the foot?
No, you were talking about the Cowboys, Jones.
Oh, them shooting themselves in the foot.
Jeez. Trying to make a pun here, and you're just killing me.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. That one was a bit of a stretch to me, Kevin. I appreciate it. I appreciate you working hard here late on a Sunday night, but that one was a bit of a stretch for me. You can just call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Or you can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Did want to take a look around the AFC East as well. And look, pretty easy. Easy day to sum up. You saw what happened with the Jets. They fall to the Patriots today, 30-21. Now dropped to 2-3. They've dropped 3 straight games, all on the road. But they do get to go back home. And we'll see if that'll turn things around for the Jets at all. Or do they just go the other way? Do they just drop right off a cliff? Already some infighting with this team. You know, how do they respond? Remember, people have written off the Jets a couple of different times under Rex Ryan. Certainly in 2009 when he himself said they weren't going to make the playoffs, and then they ended up in the AFC Championship game, backed in last week of the year, and then got to the AFC Championship game. Last year, plenty of turmoil, mostly off the field, a lot of it with Rex Ryan himself and some of his hobbies off the field, peculiar as they are. But we've seen this team get through. Exactly. We've seen this team get through off-field issues before, off-field turmoil before, so I wouldn't write off the Jets, is all I'm saying.
Most men like to do a lot of things with those people.
So despite the fact that the Jets struggled today, I wouldn't write them off, is all I'd say about them. Continuing with the AFC East, the Dolphins were on a bye week. And the only thing I'll say on them, and by the way, I was as high on them in the offseason as anybody. I thought they would take a step forward this season, and I was just dead wrong on them. Tried to hire Jim Harbaugh. Tony Sperano's been that lame duck coach. I can't believe they haven't fired him yet. Like, isn't this the perfect time to fire a coach? Am I wrong about this, Kevin? You're 0-4. You have a bye week. Remember what the Patriots did on their bye week last year? Traded freaking Randy Moss and had 2 weeks to totally change. It was perfect. It was perfect timing. The Dolphins could do the exact same thing at the exact same point in the calendar, and they decided not to. It makes no sense. So I don't know what on earth is going on down in Miami, but if you were going to fire Sperano, and I think they are, this is the week to do it. So the Dolphins remain 0-4 as they're off this week and on their bye week. And then Buffalo, the pesky Bills, continue to win football games. This one at home against the Philadelphia Eagles, 31-24. Fred Jackson shows up big time, 111 yards on the ground and a touchdown. He also had 85 yards on 6 catches through the air, almost 200 total yards of offense from Freddie Jackson. As the Bills improve to 4-1, and the Eagles, conversely, drop to 1-4. Everybody's favorite team. So I'll tell you, I was off on the Dolphins in the preseason. I thought they'd take a leap forward, be like a 9 or 10 win type team. Dead wrong on them, Kevin. Play the sound effect if you want. Dead wrong on them. But on the Eagles, right on the money. I was right on the money with the Eagles. Everybody, oh, they're a dream team. And what did I say about the Eagles in the offseason? Everybody was going nuts about their signings. They signed a bunch of backup players. Like, people were like, oh, they got Ronnie Brown and Vince Young and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. None of those guys start for that team. They got Asamoah, who's been, you know, an elite player in this league for a long period of time. He struggled, by the way, today. Mike Vick, you see some of those throws? Just god-awful throws. Something you'd want back. But they signed Asamoah. Good signing. I thought Cullen Jenkins, he's hurt, but good signing. And then Jason Babin is a guy who I thought was, you know, coming off his first Pro Bowl. I thought he was an ultimate reach. He's actually been good for them.
What about Gerard Page, man?
Yeah.
We could use that guy.
Another guy the Patriots could be using at safety. Well, no, they got Ahedabo now, so they don't need to do that.
Yeah, they're all set. According to you.
Yeah, they're all set on that back line now. They stumbled onto their
all
guy.
All pro safety James Ahedabo.
Want to touch on some comments from Albert Haynesworth, and I'm just reading these come down the wire. Again, this is from Chris Forsberg, ESPNBoston.com, staying on top of these stories. So I'm just relaying the comments there. It's Albert Haynesworth and some of his post-game comments. Haynesworth said, we put more, and I'm not saying we haven't, but players put more of an emphasis on third down today and getting off the field on third down. We took the challenge and then went out there and got it done. We're still not happy with 21 points, but we'll work on that. And I'll say, look, if you're giving up 21 points, you're going to win most of those games. So that's fine, Albert. And 3-for-11 on third down is excellent. Haynesworth continues. You know we've got talent. We have all the parts. We just need to put it together. It's what we did. Gerard Mayo wasn't out there with us. And I heard the media. Some of the guys said we didn't have a shot because Gerard wasn't in the game. We wanted to step up and show that it's a good defense no matter who comes in for him. Now, quickly, who was saying that the Patriots defense didn't have a shot?
I didn't hear that, but I'm sure Bill was preaching it.
This is what he heard. Well, the Patriots defense has sucked all season, so without Gerard Mayo, how can it be any better? I mean, that we heard, that I said. But most people, national media and locally, were picking the Patriots this week against the Jets. I said this I don't know how many times during the week on ESPN Boston Radio. They're catching them at the perfect time. The perfect time. Jets are reeling, arguing with each other, hearing it from Joe freaking Namath. So I thought they caught them. I didn't hear a lot of, oh, the Patriots don't stand a chance against the Jets. I heard none of that this week. So I don't know what he's talking about. And just in conclusion, Haynesworth goes, yeah, there's a lot of new pieces. Me, Andre, Sean. We need time to gel. We didn't have that mini camp that offseason, so we got to let this defense gel. And once we do gel, we'll become a good defense. I don't know. I mean, I wonder how much of that is gelling for Albert Haynesworth and how much of it is conditioning. For Haynesworth specifically, you know, we saw him couldn't even get off the field again today. This is the second time he was cramping coming off the field. We saw it in the Chargers game. Then he missed 2 weeks. And then we saw it again today. So, look, maybe he'll be motivated when they play like the Washington Redskins. Maybe he'll be motivated for that game and we'll see him. But by and large, it's been a big, fat strikeout on Albert Haynesworth. And I understand taking the risk, but no reward so far on Albert Haynesworth. I thought we saw that again today. Invisible out there. Except for when he was lying, flopping around on the field, cramping up. That's the only time I noticed him, Kevin. So just nothing at Albert Haynesworth today. I thought it was interesting to hear from him following the game. As the Patriots do score a victory and a good day for the defense as they take one back in the border war. 30-21. They dropped the Jets to 2-3. Patriots improved to 4-1. Another big day from Tom Brady.
You mean that border war?
And Wes Welker. No, not quite that border war. Different border war. And a huge day on the ground from Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis. 27 carries, 136 yards, pair of scores, including 10 carries on that final drive where the Patriots really bled down the clock and put the Jets out of the game. So a huge day for Green-Ellis, who joined us earlier on the Patriots post-game show. You also heard from Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Vince Wilfork, and Wes Welker. Coming up next week on the Patriots post-game show, we'll break down the Patriots and Cowboys. Make sure you stay tuned in for Patriots pregame social with Andy Hart and Paul Perillo next Sunday. And we'll talk to you following the game as the Patriots welcome the Cowboys in here to Foxborough. Coming off their bye week, Cowboys come in at 2-2 and take on the 4-1 New England Patriots at 4:15. Our thanks to Kevin Collins, also to Matt LePan and Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis for joining us here on the Patriots postgame show. I'll talk to you next Sunday on Patriots.com.
Chris going in on the verse, cause I've never been defeated and I won't stop now. Whoa. Keep your hands up, get them in the sky for the homies that ain't making it in my post lockdown. Whoa. I never went nowhere. Know what they say in Luda's back. Blame it on that conjure. The hood call it Luda Yak. And I'm on this foolish track. So I spit my foolish flow. My hands go up and down.
This has been the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com Radio. For more news, analysis, and reaction from today's game, tune into Patriots.com Radio all week. Tuesday through Thursday, starting at noon, it's PFW in Progress, Patriots Playbook, and the Pete Shepherd Show. Next Sunday, the Patriots are home to host the Dallas Cowboys. Kickoff is set for 4:15 p.m. from Gillette Stadium. Tune in to the Patriots postgame show immediately following the game. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite teams.